I think because we are a new committee, let's start by introducing ourselves first, so that at least we can know each other. And then, because even the staff members, I'm not familiar with their names yet, I'll allow them to introduce themselves after we have, honourable members have introduced themselves. My name is Nhlanhla Ncube Ndaba, the chairperson of this ad hoc committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Nokole Dimajele, member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Patricia Chwe, member of the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Denise Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Namsa Machesi. I'm the member of the Women's Committee.
Thank you, Hlophe Mkhalipi.
Good afternoon. My name is Joyce Maluleke, a member of this committee.
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Dudley. I'm an alternate member.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Chairwoman Nea Druchen. I'm a member of this committee, and my sign language interpreter who is voicing is Trudy, and the other one is Armand.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Kashfa Abrams. I'm the content advisor assigned to assist the committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Nelly Swanobata, and I'm the committee secretary assigned to this committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Yoli Zolando. I provide communication support. I've been assigned to the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kuruleko from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good
afternoon, members. I'm Hemen Dembe, OISB.
Good afternoon, Charlene Chauvin, committee assistant.
Okay, thank you, honourable members. I was thinking that the two staff members who are making the interpretation for us can introduce themselves.
Chair, I already introduced the interpreters, but just again, Trudy Tennyson and Armand Kleinschmidt.
Okay. Thank you, honourable members. Let's get straight to our business for today. The Commission for Gender Equality is a Chapter 9 institution established with a view to strengthening constitutional democracy with a focus on the attainment of gender equality in all spheres of life. Section 187(1) of the Constitution states, the Commission for Gender Equality must promote respect for gender equality and the protection, development and attainment of gender equality. Furthermore, Section 187(2) grants the Commission the power as regulated by the national legislation necessary to perform its functions, including the power to monitor, investigate, research, educate, lobby, advise and report on issues concerning gender equality. I think, honourable members, there are three issues that we need to have as this committee. One is our program, draft advert, and the questionnaire. I think what we have given you now on your table is the three documents on a draft program, a draft advert, and a questionnaire for candidates. So the other thing that is left is the letter that we asked the legal unit of parliament to write to the minister. And we said the legal person must be part of our meeting today so that at least he can explain on what exactly have they written to the minister. Because if you remember, the advert was sent out by the Minister of Women. And in terms of the law, it's this committee that is tasked with that responsibility. So we have drafted a program which we need you to look at so that at least we adopt it. But if there are any amendments that you want to make, we'll appreciate that also. What we have done, honourable members, we haven't put any meeting on over for weekends. Our meetings were going to hold them during the week. And I think what we have considered also is that if it's December now and we are closing Parliament, so what we are going to do is to write to the Speaker's office for extension, because I'm sure according to the deadline that they gave us, it was the 30th of January, which I think it's not going to be possible for us. What we have done also, we have, in terms of the advert, we are going to advertise from the 11th, if I'm not mistaken, until the 13th of January. And we have another week also where public civil society need to make comments, and human resource must also assist us in terms of verification of qualifications and, what do they say, screening, yeah, vetting of the of candidates. So that immediately after that, we can start by shortlisting and do our interviews. So we are hoping that what we have proposed to you, you are going to second us and adopt the report. Thank you very much. Oh, one of our staff members will make a presentation on the program that we have drafted. And I think the legal person also must come and present the letter that they have written to the minister and tell us whether they did receive a response or what. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So today we've got the draft program, and starting on page 7, what we've outlined and included was right from the start, from the onset of the committee. So as of the 23rd of November, that was the election of the chairperson. Today is the 50th, in which we will look at the program for adoption. As we move over to page 9, in terms of the selection process, that would be for the 24th and 25th of January. We will have 2 days in which the committee would be able to go through all the CVs. In terms of interviews, that would be on the 16th and 17th of February from 9:30. We've made it provisionally until 8 p.m. in the evening, bearing in mind that the week before that, members, we've got the State of the Nation address, so therefore we didn't schedule interviews during that week. In terms of deliberations on candidates, that would be on the 22nd of February, in which we have the time after we've done the interviews for members to look at which of the candidates you would nominate and put forward. And then on the last page, that is page 10 of the program, would be the consideration and adoption of the report, which is on the 28th of February. And as Chairperson indicated, our initial deadline was for the 31st of January. But practically, we won't be able to do that, because if we put out the advert on the 11th of December, the requirement is at least for 2 weeks, but we know that there's the Christmas holiday and New Year. So if we extend that up until the 13th of January, which is a Friday, it gives a month an opportunity for all CVs to be sent to Neliswa. Once the deadline reaches on the 13th of January, there'd be a week opportunity in which we upload all the CVs onto the website for civil society to give commentary. So that's a week. And in that time, the next thing which I will go through is the questionnaire. And we've looked at what the process was for the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission. For both the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission, they had adverts that ran for 3 weeks. They gave a week for civil society to give commentary. And then after that, those respective committees looked at the CVs, deliberated and done interviews. So we've tried to be in keeping more or less to what Parliament has done before. So members, I'll pause there just to hand over to Chairperson if there's any other commentary around the program before we move on to the next section.
thanks. Honorable Sope.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to get a clarity. How many vacancies are we filling?
Oh, okay. It's four.
It's four.
Yeah.
Okay. The second question, I can see on the program, on the document, there's a column that says budget. And then the content advisor didn't talk about the budget on that column. I don't know. I'm seeing something written on the budget. The first one, the meeting that took place on Wednesday when we elected you, Chair, there was a budget of 1,100. What was that for? Or is it a mistake? Because we didn't eat anything that day.
There was food.
It came late.
No, it came in the morning before the meeting.
Oh, I didn't eat myself. So I'm rejecting to this budget. I didn't eat.
In terms of the amount, okay, thanks, Honorable Shop. I think in terms of the amounts that they have written in this program, it's standard for Parliament, so that's why they've written these amounts. But I think the one thing that I forgot to raise with them, Honorable Members, is when our meeting delays and we get out late, you know, at night, that I'm sure it's another thing that they need to consider for transport for members. Thank you very much.
Even when the meeting takes the whole day, because my state is press again, I'll press on.
No, I'm just saying the meeting takes the whole day, and the budget only budgets for 1 meal.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Okay. I think they are listening. The other thing that we did not discuss with the staff members is that whether we are going to use Parliament venues for our meetings or whether we are going to book outside sometimes. That we need to get from honorable members so that we cannot just put something that maybe you are not in favor with.
Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I just wish to recommend that we have our meetings in Parliament, because if we have meetings elsewhere, it incurs extra cost.
Okay.
And this should be limited.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing as well.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. Any comment with regards to our draft program?
Honorable Kaliti? Yes, Chair. It's not on the program, but just to get a background, why we have four vacancies, what happened? Maybe just to get a background.
Okay.
Thank you, Members. So in terms of the vacancies, we have the chairperson, his term ends on the 31st of January 2017. The deputy chairperson, her term ends on the 31st of May. And it would be too costly to have two ad hoc committees, so we dealt with that. On the 31st of May, which passed now, we had a Commissioner Janine Hicks. Her term came to an end. But then a part-time commissioner, Mr. Buerta, he applied for that full-time position. So he filled that full-time position, but then his part-time position became vacant. So therefore it's three, the chair for end of January, the deputy chair end of May, the part-time commissioner that came available. And then in 2012, the president actually only nominated for the appointment of nine commissioners, even though the Act and the Constitution says you can have 11 plus one. So technically there's 12, which includes the chairperson, but that 12th position was never filled. So we're still putting forward an opportunity to say, let's try and fill four. And in terms of the process, we look at names, we put forward that to the president, but the president can still decide whether he wants to fill all four or three. So hence we have four. And just talking on from the portfolio committee side on women, we can see the urgency of actually needing a full complement of 12 commissioners, and not just 11. So of that, it would be part-time and full-time.
Thank you, Kashifa. I just want to have clarity then, like in terms of fulfilling that vacancy, do you have funding for that? Because up to now, recently we've looked at their budget. I didn't see any funding for an additional commissioner that was included in the entire budget. So just need clarity on that.
Honourable Machisi, so for the part-time commissioner, there would have been for Mr. Porter, who took Janine Hicks' position, that money would still be available. The issue of the 12th commissioner, technically, because when they submit forward their budget, it's based on the appointments that they already have. So if we apply, it would be technically the new cycle. So therefore they can put in terms of the budget for 17-18, an opportunity for additional commissioner.
Okay, Mrs. Robinson.
Thank you. I just want to ask a question. I know that the term of office is for a certain period of time, but Janine Hicks has not been a commissioner now for some time. Is there the possibility that she could be reappointed or not?
So just in terms of the CGE Act, members would have two acts with you. The original act, which was 1996, and then we had amendment in 2013. Now, according to the acts, you can only go for two terms. So in the case of the chairperson now, this is his second term, so he can't apply again. And Janine Hicks, I think, actually went for two terms. Because in 2012, when you did appointments, that was her second time for which she applied. So technically, she can't apply again. So it's a maximum of two terms. So for any commissioner now, even the deputy chairperson, if she's only had one term, she can reapply, because that would be a second term.
Honourable Lunam.
Does it ask the term, like how long is the term?
It's 5 years.
Honourable Velma.
Thank you, Chair. The two terms, does it also apply to the part-time commissioners? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, honourable members. Can we get your comments with regards to the program? Honourable Joyce.
Chairperson, thank you. I propose that we adopt the program as it is, okay, with some amendments on the budget.
Oh, okay. Any seconder? Honourable Mkhalipi.
No, I second it, Chair, because it's very important that there will be no meeting during weekends.
Okay, thank you very much, honourable members. Yeah, the program has been adopted. Let's get to the questionnaire. Whether we start with the draft advert or the questionnaire, it's fine. Okay, we have used the one of the questionnaire, we have used the one of the public protector, but what we did, we changed it to gender.
Yeah.
Members, I think just to put the questionnaire into context, I think if it's fine with Chairperson, we'll start with the actual advert so that you know why the candidates will need to fill out the questionnaire. So the advert says here, nomination for commissioners to the Commission for Gender Equality, because this would give members a sense of what it is that we're looking for. So the ad hoc committee on the filling of vacancies in this Commission for Gender Equality, commissioned by the Act, invites members of the public and organizations to nominate suitable candidates for appointment to serve in the commission as commissioners. Applications will also be accepted. So in other words, besides someone nominating, somebody else, we will also accept applications directly. A list of applications or nominations. So the difference between the two is when if I recommend Ms. Cheyu versus Mrs. Cheyu applying directly herself. A receipt will be published in the parliamentary website to allow members of the public to comment on the suitability of candidates. The Commission has, in terms of Section 187 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 96, a mandate to promote respect for gender equality and protection, development and attainment of gender equality, and has the powers and functions regulated by the national legislation to monitor, investigate, research, educate, lobby, advise and support on research issues concerning gender equality. The President will, on recommendation of Parliament, appoint a member to the Commission for a term of office not exceeding 5 years. The members of the Commission may be appointed as full-time or part-time. Any person whose term of office as a member of the Commission has expired may be reappointed for one additional term. So that covers a maximum of 2 terms. Mm-hmm. The candidates must be South African citizens who are fit and proper persons for appointment to the Commission and are broadly representative of South African community, have a record of commitment to the promotion of gender equality, and have applicable knowledge of and experience in matters connected with objects of the Commission. So just in terms of the thing about fit and proper, as well as South African citizen, that is by the provisions within the Constitution. As we move to the second page of the advert, nomination must contain the full name, address, email address, contact details of the person or organization making nomination, a signed acceptance of the nomination by the nominee, and a CV providing the applicant or the nominees with respect to the following: the name and ID, contact details, previous work experience and academic qualifications. And then the nominations must be sent to Neliswa, and the closing date is the 13th of January. 13th of January. What we had asked of the process for the ad hoc committee for Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission, why is it, what process did they follow to make sure that we follow in suit? And the issue with the questionnaire, both for the Public Protector as well as with the Human Rights Commission, members found it useful that this is basically the summary of the CV. And it would help members when you look through all the CVs, as some of the CVs would be very thick. How would we go through that in a way that gives us a nice summary? So this would be emailed to every nominee or applicant once they send it. So if somebody sends it on the 12th of January to Neliswa will send out and say, please can you fill in this questionnaire and return it, and she'll give the closing date by which to return it. So as we look at the questionnaire, on the first stage we just outline again where the CGE fits in terms of being a Chapter 9 institution and the relevant act. I think the first thing I need to change is not to the portfolio committee. On the first page I need to change it to ad hoc committee. So that's the one thing I need to change. So all nominees and applicants must fill this out. If we move over to the second page, it just gives you section one is a personal summary, so their names, date of birth, tertiary education, again it's just in summary, matters around 1.5, their employment and work experience, and that's over to page 3, and then 1.6, any other details or experience which the nominee feel that we should be aware of. Language proficiency on page 7, each candidate would give an indication. On page 4, which is the motivation, here this is different to the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission. We're specifically asking matters related to the CGE. So the first is to explain why the person believes they're the right person to serve on the Commission for Gender Equality. And then 2.2 on page 5, is to understand what their understanding is of the key challenges in terms of gender equality that our country faces, and what would you do to address these if you were appointed as a commissioner. This would help each member of this committee to have a bit of insight as to when you have an applicant, what makes you think that this person would be the most suitable, and it gives them an opportunity to motivate for themselves. Then as we move over to page 6, this is general information again. 3.1, we need to hear from them. Would they prefer to be a full-time or a part-time candidate? 3.2, are there any other circumstances, financial otherwise, which may cast doubt on your fitness to hold office as a commissioner? 3.3, have you ever been convicted on any offence involving dishonesty, violence, or any other dishonourable conduct? As we move to page 7, 3.4, has any professional body ever found you guilty of unprofessional or disgraceful conduct? 3.5, have you ever faced internal investigation or disciplinary inquiry or dismissal from any place of employment? And then on 3.6, which is the last page, are there any other matters which concern your honesty, integrity and reliability which you should bring to the attention of the committee? And I think this is important, that it captures from the person themselves what it is they feel the committee should know from the beginning. Yes, we will ask during the time in which civil society comments for HR to verify issues of qualification and to have matters related to vetting. But if there's a nominee who still feels they want to be considered, but this is the issue that they want the committee to know, this is the opportunity for them to say that. So it also helps the committee beforehand, in terms of when we go through the CVs, for us to know right from the beginning what are the matters of concern which we should be aware of. So members, in summary, we've gone through our program, we've got our advert, and the questionnaire, which all applicants would have to fill out. All of this would help members to look at what candidates you would put forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Majeke, Honourable Nomsa, Honourable Cho, Mupakamisi of Mwinzan. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Now, this questionnaire, it's for us as the ad hoc committee to familiarize ourselves with the questions or with the relevant information that the applicant needs to have. I just want to clarify.
Honourable
Chu. Sure, thanks. Go 1.5. I just find it very interesting that you need to finish your particulars of employment chronologically. But in others, you don't have to do them chronologically. Is there any reason why this one in particular? And then with the others, in terms of qualifications, you don't have to do them chronologically. And then you, and in page, I think page 5, 2.2, I think there's something missing, even if my English is not that perfect. It says, what do you understand to be key challenges in terms of gender equality that our country faces, and what you do to address? Or what will you do? What will you do?
Also, what do you understand to be the key challenge?
What will you do?
No, the problem is the joining of that sentence.
Yeah.
It says there's something missing. I think it's what will you do? Because you're asking that particular person at that point in time.
What do you
Sorry, I understand what my colleague is saying, but I also just wondered if this is perhaps referring to the fact what people have done and what they want to do in the future, or do you think that will be covered sufficiently in, you know, their history? Because one does want to know that you have had activism and that you are really involved with this particular portfolio.
I think the chair. I just want to question the nomination, basically the advert stuff, because we are not having any guidelines on qualifications even if you say that, you know, you should have this qualification or anything relevant or, you know, something that is relevant to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think maybe that's, I think we need to maybe add something like that.
Okay.
Okay, and also on the questionnaire, you go on and mention that we are looking at the Act of 2013, and somewhere you also say refer to the fact that it has been, okay, on the, sorry, on the questionnaire, you have Section 187 of the Constitution, you talk about the 1996 Act, and then you say amended to 2013. Don't you think we should have that as well on the ad itself? And also, I think the issue of insolvency, I don't see you adding anything about that. You have to say, like, you know, have you ever been insolvent? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Dani.
Thank you. I'm thinking more of once it's ready, how are we going to get it into a form that it's actually social media friendly, because a lot of the easy sharing of this to get into the right hands would be if we have it in that format, so that from the advert we can open up on the nomination form and the questionnaire, et cetera, as well. So, and if we can get it as a committee, but also if it can be made available generally in that form. Thank you.
Yeah.
The other thing, when you look at the nomination, the advert itself, it gives the full address. It does not only give the email address of Nelly Soa,
yeah,
but it gives the entire full address. But then the questionnaire doesn't.
Okay.
Can we just do that?
Okay. Honorable Kalip.
Are we only advertising on newspapers only? And if the answer is yes, which are those newspapers? Because I know there's a newspaper in KZN by Isolezo. Are we all also going to cover that? And my only concern is that the rural women, are they going to get this information? Because we must not be seen as we are targeting only people in urban areas.
Yeah, thanks. Pat?
The other time, I think when we were in the last meeting, people raised the issue of over-expenditure by the department. Has that been cleared? Because we also need to know how much are we spending in advertising. If we have little money, it means that it will cover very few people. If we have a lot of money, it will cover. How much budget do we have on advertising? Yes. I'm just saying, which areas are we covering? The 150, will it cover the scope that we want? Or will it limit us? I'm not sure. I have never done advertising on this particular matter, but I'm just saying the 150,000, because normally a newspaper charges 25,000 in advert. So will it cover the newspapers that we want? Or we don't say we cover the normal newspapers that they cover. We cover the ones that we want first and the others later. I'm not sure. Whatever way that we will see it.
Honorable members, you want to respond to what Comrade Chwe is raising? Okay, I can give you to speak.
I don't want to respond.
Oh.
But I just want to add on what she's saying. Maybe if we can be told, how did we arrive in this 150,000?
Yeah.
Which newspapers and which other means of advertisement? Yeah.
Okay, I'd just like to suggest that we use radio as well, because many people read that, listen to it, but they don't read newspapers. And there it can be done as a general interest thing. Also, community newspapers very often have slots which they do for nothing as news which is coming ahead. So I think one can negotiate that for the community newspapers. And then radio very often does it free of charge as well. But I think we must negotiate. But it's not as expensive as the press.
Okay, can you respond so that you can tell us whether this amount is estimation or what or whatever sufficient, or is just an estimation, so that you can consider Abo Isolezo, as Member Mkhalipi was saying, and the other local newspapers, yeah, to just to reach out to our people.
I'm going to start off with the questionnaire, and then, so, Honourable Chair, I'd amend as you recommended, so the issue of chronological, I'll make sure that it's reflected in tertiary education as well, so that there's consistency. Ms. Nonsa, I will ensure that the advert and the questionnaire in terms of the CG Amendment Act and the Act of 96 appears the same, as well as the full address at the back.
And the insolvency?
The insolvency.
I'll include something on the insolvency. In terms of the question on 2.2, I'll break it up in two parts. So what do you understand to be the key challenges in terms of gender equality that our country faces? And secondly, what will you do to address these if you are appointed as a commissioner? I think the question is an opportunity for members to give input. So if members feel you want to add another question, well, this is just a draft, so we brought it here for your comment. I think the challenge about whether you look at how will they take it forward or versus the experience, the CVs will talk to experience. But I think it's important for members going forward to say, well, if this person was to be the president, the chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality, what do you think their vision is going to be? And they should be able to tell you where they're going to take the CGE forward. So I think it's more forward-looking. The CV will tell us about what their past experience is, but their past experience should help craft and for them to have knowledge of where they want to go forward. In terms of adverts, I'll hand over to Neliswa regarding the issue of the money. But what we've been told is it will go on Parliament's website. We can look at Facebook and Twitter. And in terms of where the public protector and human rights advertised, if I remember correctly, it was Sowetan and City Press and one Afrikaans newspaper. But I'll hand over to Neliswa now to talk to the issue of the money, which newspapers, and coverage broader than that.
Okay. The fax number as well. I don't see the fax number on the other document.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, can I just add something for you? On using the Parliament's social media. Parliament hasn't separated its sort of news page with its cat comment page. So a lot of the news items get lost in amongst people chatting. So, and I really recommend we, and then people who are busy read three chats and think, oh, I don't have time for this, and you're out. Whereas you, but you actually do want to pick up on that very important news items of what's happening and what we have to respond to, etc. So I'm just wondering whether we don't want this to get lost in a whole stream of other people's comments on something else. Just to keep that in mind. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Dudley. Amount.
Thank you, Chair. The amount that is in the program, members, it's an estimate. It can be more, it can be less. We'll apply to members, but also we'll need guidance from the committee in terms of the language that we want to advertise. If members agree that we advertise in all languages, then we'll do so. What I did is I've checked with the committee secretary who was dealing with public protector and Human Rights Commission, and he told me that they advertise in all languages. And also, in terms of the papers, they advertise, the English one, they use City Press and Sowetan, and I just forgot the Afrikaans one. But I think the other, you know, papers like Isolus, they were covered. So if committee agrees, we can advertise in all languages. Thank you, Chair.
No, that one, we agree, 11 languages. Use them. We want to reach out to a rural woman there, and even a person who can't even read English or Afrikaans, they must understand what there is. This, remember, this office must reach out to our people.
Then we also use the other media platforms, which are not popular.
Anything?
Sorry,
No, we're agreeing. Yeah, we're agreeing that you are going to use community newspapers, because remember those ones, everybody is reading it. Honorable,
I just want to find out, because if I accept the qualifications should be some kind of guideline. I didn't hear you say anything about that.
What? Honorable members, do you think you must have specific qualifications or what? We are the ones who must propose it. Remember, Tina, what we have done is just a draft. What we need ideas from you also. Whether there is a need for us to put on a specific qualification, whether we are saying we need a person with a degree or a national diploma or a matric or whatever, it's us that must say this.
I just want to say, because now we are saying relevant experience for a commissioner. So how many people have relevant experience for commissioner? So I think we have to narrow it down, because then it prevents other people to say, okay, I've never been a commissioner, so you know I won't apply. So we need to have to come up with some kind of a guideline that, you know, even if you say, okay, maybe you have a diploma and some relevant experience, that would be fine. But maybe you can think of it like that.
Honorable Chiu, Honorable Robinson.
Maybe I'm just thinking aloud that most women don't have qualification for gender issues. Maybe we should say an understanding, because when we question people, we find that they have an understanding, and others have. It will be a bonus that women have qualifications. You must remember, we are from a society where women were never allowed to go to school. And these days you have women that did human, what do they call it? No. Humanities. Yes, in humanities, they normally do gender issues there and there and all that. So you'll find that we will be lucky that there will be those women. And others will be social workers, maybe, but those who did sociology will understand a little bit. But most of gender activists don't have clear qualifications, but
I think that's
we'll just have to be flexible.
That's a terminology that you can use if you've been a gender activist, yeah, and relevant
qualifications.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also going to say that I think we should be specific in a qualification in gender studies or politics or something like that, plus practical experience.
Honorable Dudley.
Just a thought to relate it to gender activism rather than being a gender activist, so that we, because there's different ways, and I think that might also exclude, and we want to include.
Okay, thanks. Honorable Velma and Joyce.
Thank you, Chair. We also need to consider that some women are activists, but they don't have a qualification necessarily. So we need to obviously also think of them. We can't just chase for the qualification. And then I have a completely different issue, and I think I'll just bring it up now. I'm looking at the date. The deadline is the 13th of January. For the submission, then you will immediately send the questionnaire on email, but it must be returned back to Naliswa on the 13th of January too. So suppose a person sends it at midnight on the 13th of January, that won't be sent back to them. So if they only send their questionnaire back on the 14th, are they going to be disqualified, or how are we going to play with the time?
The questionnaire, according to my understanding, has a different date. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We'll check, ne? And we might change it. correct it. Because we might change it. Yeah, I think Honorable Velma, we are agreeing with regards to the gender activist qualifications in the requirements.
No, thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Velma covered me because my worry was if we are talking about qualifications and we say people must have the qualification on gender issues, and many of our women, they don't have those qualifications. But if we say they must have an understanding, they must have relevant experience or skills, I think it would be fine. But not say qualification.
Not requirement.
Yes. If we say qualification, what do we mean? Do we say diploma, degree, or any certificate?
Okay, we said, okay, I think we're saying that we should have a background in humanities.
So we have to come up with something. Okay, let's hear from her.
Can I take members to our advert? The last paragraph on the first page. The candidates must be South African citizens who are fit and proper persons for the appointment to the commission and are broadly representative of the African community. That's fine. The second bit, have a record of commitment to the promotion of gender equality and have applicable knowledge of and experiences in matters connected with the objects of the commission. So I think to kind of balance, not to exclude, because based on, we've gone through this process before, if we're going the diploma and certificate route, we actually exclude lots of people. And there are people who may be doing lots of gender activism, as Ms. Dudley says, but they don't have certificates.
Yeah, I think
so if members are okay, do the last two sentences then cover all that you need?
Yeah, I think this one represents our advert proper. Honorable members, eh? Yeah, comrade. Yeah, oh, Honorable Majeki.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is to say, since this process has been done before, wouldn't it be better to look into how it was structured and then see where there were gaps, and then we can add into that to avoid us starting something that has been done previously in terms of the kind of people that we are looking for?
I think that's what we're doing, Honorable Majek. Yeah, because now we do have our advert. The only thing Honorable Members wanted to check if there are other requirements that we need to put on our advert. That's my understanding, unless in Zambi I'm representing you wrong.
The other thing, Chair, maybe is that we just received these documents while we just arrived here.
Yeah.
But the content advisor have just pointed to the last paragraph, which I think it's very it's capturing us very proper.
Yeah. Thanks, Honorable.
Just to correct, right, the questionnaire, that closing date would be the 20th of January. It's not going to be the 13th of January. I'll correct that. And then just to put into context the issue of, again, why this questionnaire? The value of the questionnaire is when members read through this, when we go through the CVs, members can tell me, you know what, Kashwa, actually give us a guideline for asking questions, or actually don't give us a guideline. This questionnaire already tells me when it comes to this candidate, based on what he or she said, I'm going to ask a follow-up question. So that's the purpose of the questionnaire, for members themselves to see, you know what, I really feel this person should be nominated, But what else can I ask based on what he or she has written to motivate why it should be? Or if I feel maybe this isn't a suitable candidate, I'm going to ask more questions around this matter to highlight to the committee why I think this is an area of concern. So that's why there's the value in this questionnaire. So, Ms. Majeki, in terms of who's the questionnaire for, we send it to us or to applicants, but when all members get it back, you will get a copy of each and everybody's response so that you can yourself see, you know what, this is not clear, I need to ask a follow-up questionnaire. That is why this is where the questionnaire becomes useful for you after each applicant has written out themselves. Thank you.
No.
I just want to find out, regarding the questionnaire, can you populate it on the computer as you open it, or do you have to print it and use the handwriting? Because then I just want to have a clarity on that, because then if you have to be having people, you know, writing by hand, then we're going to have a problem to be able to understand different handwriting. I just want to ask.
That one is tricky. Mm-hmm.
I think, again, if we look at if you're in the deep rural Eastern Cape, you know, what's going to be easier, to ask someone to print it for me and then you get someone else to fax it, or for me to be online on the internet? So I think we should provide an option for both. So if somebody can email it to Naliswa, that's great. If somebody can fax it to Naliswa, that's great. If somebody can send it via the post, because we don't want to exclude anybody. And also, over that Christmas, December period,
she was talking about those who don't have access to computers and so on. Because, remember, those who are in rural areas, sometimes they are going to get these forms and write, you know. And a person who writes terribly like myself, it's not going to be easy for us to read what the person has written. You know what I wanted to check with you, because most of you are serving in this committee, on whether we do have these offices in all provinces. So that, you know, those interested people want to, they can go to those offices and ask them to type something for them.
Mm-hmm. No, okay.
Honorable Dudley and Honorable Chu.
Yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes you can actually populate a form. You open it, okay, because you will have an attachment. You open an attachment and you're able to to fill it there, right then and then. That's, I just want to find out, is that an option that is there? That was my question.
Why that's very important is because most everybody has a smartphone, which means that they don't have to have anything else but the phone in their hand. They just type in their info and send it straight back. So it is very important that you don't have to save it, find it again, open it up. You just need to put in the info, send it back. And you'll find that rural areas, smartphones are easy for people. Going to ask someone to print something, send it back, all that becomes difficult.
Also, you must not lose that point that you are raising, Chair, because now I'm for rural women. Mm-hmm. You are saying here, the person, Kwama Pumulo, saw an advertisement at Isolezwe. She bought an Isolezwe, but she does not have a computer. Mm-hmm. Then she is interested on the advertisement, but she wants to do it in handwriting. So the chair was asking if that one can be accommodated, because other people have bad writings like hers. So let us not lose that point.
Yeah, no, we understand that. I just wanted to know if you have both options.
Okay.
Honorable Chu. I think I have been covered, because people talk about rural areas. I don't know how to use that option. In my phone, I only receive a call and then send SMS. I don't even know how to use a phone. I have never had an interest. So it's not only rural areas. And I think whatever form that people bring in the application, we should. You know, I didn't even know about this option that you can open the thing and then type, so that people can type. Those who want to type, don't want to go to the whatever internet cafe, then they can do it through their phone. It's fine. Whatever option, let us be flexible.
Yeah. I think, honourable members, let us be flexible. Parliament need to assist those people who will have interest to apply, but they don't have access to computers. Ne? Because I acting at everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Legal person, they must explain what have they written to the minister.
I'm new to this committee like yourself, so they didn't answer your question to say each and every province does they have offices.
Can you please respond to that? Comrade Bing.
Sorry for
Honourable
sorry for coming late, Chair. We were voting from our committee. I wanted to take on this one, just to follow up as to whether CGE offices in provinces, will they have this, but also whether our constituency offices, especially the NA ones, if we can be able to make sure that people access these forms through that, so that we don't leave people out there.
Yeah.
Chair, each province has an office, but the problem with those offices are in town, very far from the people that we want to access this application. So it wouldn't work. Take East London, for instance. Yes. If you are in Tata, the office is in East London. And the distance, King Williamstown, East London, you know? So it's not going to work. In the Eastern Cape, it's not going to work. We have nine offices around the country, but not in each and every town. Thank you.
So the constituency offices becomes an option.
We'll agree.
Yes.
I was going to suggest
we find a gender-friendly place like a spa that happens to be in every place, everywhere, and they want the advert that says you can pick up the forms or something from spa. Because then that, you know, somebody who's got an outlet everywhere who just would like their name on the bottom there for that.
I think since Nelly saw it's your number,
yes.
We are going to be flexible, honourable members, as much as possible, so that everybody must be able to access our forms.
What are moms and pops supposed
to be everywhere? Which one? I'm a general dealer. We're not disagreeing with you, but what we are saying, we are going to be flexible as the committee. Anybody who needs assistance or who needs a form will have to call Uneliso. Yeah. Can we get a mover and a seconder for our proposed document?
Yeah, I want to propose the adoption of those documents with amendments.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chewu. Okay, thank you, Honourable Robinson. Can you get
Thanks, Honourable Chair, and good afternoon, members. On the 20th of this month, the Minister and the Women's President advertised for the CEG post, so which we discovered on the following day. And in terms of the CG Act 39 of 1996, that one was allowed in terms of Section 3.3, but in the new amendment which came into effect on 2013, that provision which allowed the minister to advertise had been deleted. So when we checked on the amendment, we found that this amendment was made in order to align the CG Act with the Constitution, in particular Section 193, 4 and 6 of the Constitution. So similar provisions are also found in the Public Protector, Auditor General and SHRC for advertisement. So in terms of when you read the Act and interpret the Act, which means now the advert had to come from Parliament, not from the minister, because in terms of the amendment, that provision which empowered the minister to make the amendment had been deleted, which means it's no longer applicable. So that was a mistake, which we advised the deputy speaker and crafted a letter which he had sent to the minister, which was acknowledged by the PA on the 28th of November. But up to today, we followed up with the DG, but we haven't found a response today.
Honourable members, I think the legal unit must fast track their letter, because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we are fighting with the minister, because we are going to send out our advert, and the minister must withdraw her advert. Yeah, so. Please, you must do something, because you can't create we can't have problems. There are mistakes that were created by a minister. It's important. Honourable Nomsa, Nina, please serve on the committee. Honourable Head.
Honourable
Nomsa, Ekekane, and Honourable Dudley. Because yeah. This thing of us not having a response from a department, you know. From the outside people who are looking at us, they will think we are mad. There's an advert from the department and there's an advert from Parliament that needs to be corrected.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I just because I got a bit confused. So we have the 1993 Act, and then it was amended to 1996 Act, and then it was amended to 2013. So then you're saying that the part where it states that Parliament is responsible for appointments was deleted, or was it the previous one from the 1996 Act?
The 1996
Act.
One, I read it.
Act. Yeah. Okay, so that was the one that was amended and deleted.
Yeah.
So
the 1996 one was deleted. That gave the minister the power to, the provision to advertise. It was deleted by the one of 2013. And it's clear in that Act of 2013. That this is the responsibility of Parliament.
Chair, I want to propose, and I agree with you on the fast tracking, but this committee can also request you to have a bilateral with the minister, just to make her aware. Chair, am I protected?
You are protected, but what I'm saying, Honourable Kekan, she's the minister. She's supposed to be knowing the Act. No, it can't be us that educate her on her responsibilities. She should be knowing the Act. Maybe what we need to do, the legal unit must do their job, their part.
Can I finish my input, Chair? Because this is not the only committee that one serves. We serve in the Finance Committee with many acts, and there are areas where the minister does not follow up on certain things, and nothing stops the chairperson of the committee to have a bilateral with the minister. Mm. But that mandate comes from the committee. If the committee says no, it's fine. But I'm putting it on the table to say, my proposal is to make her aware, because we want our advert to go out. You will have the advert of the committee, and that one will not be withdrawn. And we are confusing the same people that we want them to apply for. Some will be confused whether it must go to this side and that side.
That's
That's what I'm dealing with.
What are you seconding?
I'm seconding that you must have a one-on-one with the minister.
Yeah.
If other people feel you shouldn't, but you need to raise your concern about her putting up the advert instead of us. And that has to be raised.
Honorable Dudley and Honorable Velma.
Thank you. I would support that suggestion because I was going to say who is the best person. Is it the state law rub? Is it someone else? We must find exactly who the right person is to get it sorted out quickly. Now, the suggestion here that you be mandated to do that makes a lot of sense to me, and it would save the minister being called to the committee, the expense of her having to come here and sit before all of us. If you manage that. But the thing that I wanted to ask, linked to that, just because of if there's these complications, there's time issues, what are we, you're asking for an extension to, what, February, end of February. What are the options there? I mean, when is the deadline? Is there a constitutional maximum or minimum to when this can be done? Do we have any more flexibility? Because obviously, if we're dealing with these kind of issues, it does take time away from what we're doing. Do we have any time to play with is what I'm asking.
Thank you. Pardon me if I'm a bit slow. Can I ask the legal advice? I'm a little bit confused with the two things. The first act and the amended act. I'm reading through it and trying to find really who advertises. If I read the original act, point 3.3, before members of the commission are appointed, the minister, okay, shall invite, etc., etc. Going to the amended act, I read the amended to section 3.3 D deleted that part, but I don't see an additional line that Parliament will then advertise. I don't see that in the amended one, although the minister advertising was deleted, but it is not clear in the new Act if it is indeed Parliament who should advertise. If we can just get clarity on that, through you, Chair. Thank you.
Legal advisor.
Section 3.3 of the old Act, the 1996, which allowed the minister, which empowered the minister, that before advertisement or before nomination, to call for public participation. In short, without reading the Act, so which allows the minister to call for public participation to or to nominate. Then, in the new Act, which is number 17 of 1996 of 2013. Okay, let me go back to the old Act, Section 3.2. Of the old Act, or provides the procedure for the appointment in the CGE. So, if the only amendment which has happened pertains to only Section 3,
33. The old act still prevails because we have to, nothing has changed pertaining to the section 32, which is the procedure for the appointment in the CGE. So the amendment which is done in terms in section 3 is aligned to the constitution, in particular section 193, 4 and 6, which if you look in the new act, the amendment in the previous one, it was said the members are proposed by interested parties as contemplated in Section 3, but now it's nominated by a committee of the National Assembly, proportional, composed of members of all parties represented. Yes, which is an ad hoc. Then, secondly, now approved by the National Assembly with a supporting vote and blah, blah, blah. Then, on the recommendation of the Assembly. If you take that into context, that's the same or similar position that is applied when adverts for the Public Protector, Auditor General, and SHRC applies.
So it's all Chapter 9?
It's Chapter 9 institution, that's in the same class.
Because all Chapter 9, yeah.
When there is an ad hoc. Okay, on besides that, maybe just to add, we also on that letter that we've written to the minister, we advise the minister that for the application that she's going to receive, she must direct it to Parliament. That is what was proposed. It's an addition beside the legal technicalities.
Anas or Yiming, you are confused. Yeah. Honorable Majeke, Honorable Joyce, Honorable Chu.
Thank you, Chairperson. The way forward and to add into this, my suggestion would be our Chairperson of the Ad Hoc Committee, because it will be dealing with this CG Commission, and the legal fraternity, both, I think, immediately should try and arrange a meeting with the minister for clarifying this so that we move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My concern is about the applications that will be directed to the minister. My concern is about the advert itself. Is it the same with us, or is it going to be different, and are we not going to confuse other applicants?
Honorable Kekan. Honorable Velma, is your hand up?
You know, Chair, if you can attend to this bilateral that we are proposing of saying meet with the minister quickly, then the minister will withdraw the advert. Then there will be no confusion. Because we cannot entertain another advert outside this legal advert. So we are doing what is required of us by the law. But we are also not turning a blind eye of any legal process that has just started. And it is our responsibility to say, let's intervene and make sure that the right thing happens, so that Parliament and Cabinet don't talk past each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
No, I wanted to respond on the issue of the advert, because we thought that probably some of the candidates might not see the retraction of the minister. So let them not be disadvantaged. So the best way was that for those applications received, they should be redirected to Parliament, because some of the people will have seen only that advert. It was in that call.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, honourable members. I will do that with the legal unit. Neliswa will have to check with the office of the minister so that we can meet as soon as possible by the end of this week. Check about the logo. Yeah.
Sometimes
you may
have legal will take
you
out.
Oh, yeah, Parliament, we are sitting, yeah, right?
Yeah, we don't have much time.
Okay. So, legal person must avail himself, ne?
Yeah.
Because I think today, because we have a sitting, probably she'll be there in the house.
She was there yesterday.
We are closing this matter, honorable members. Yes. Thank you very much. Minutes. I agree, we have adopted, we have moved, we have seconded, we have three much of whatever.
Where's the
Yeah. There are no matters arising from these minutes. Our members have already adopted the minutes. It was just the election of the chairperson. Thank you, honourable members. The meeting is adjourned. There's lunch, ne? A fruitless expenditure. You must eat them, Kalip, so that Ninyazolo Kushan.
Okay. Yeah. Chairperson?
Huh?
They would do it. Oh.